Are you ready for the word this morning? I tell you, it's good to see so many people in church. It just is exciting. It's good to come to church and wonder who all is going to show up. Amen. It's exciting. Hallelujah. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. This has been our foundational scripture for the last 3 weeks. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been talking about this scripture, and I want to kind of move beyond it today and look at some other things, but this scripture is dealing with deception and light. And it says, when our minds are veiled or when our minds are deceived, we walk in darkness and we are perishing. Isn't that a scary thought? We're perishing. That means those who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are perishing. It means those who have given their life to Christ but have not yet fully yielded themselves to the leadership and the lordship of Jesus Christ are perishing. I say that because it's true. Paul said, many of you are sick and many of you are dying because you don't understand the work of Christ. He said that to the early church. He said, man, you're not taking communion properly. You're not understanding the relationship between Christ and the body. He says, this is why you're in the condition that you're in. Now we today say, well, no, he doesn't understand there's germs and there's... No, he doesn't need to understand that because he understands the power of God. Yes. I tell you, when you can raise people from the dead, germs don't mean much. That's right. Think about it. It's like, gee, when you raise somebody from the dead, the whole body's stopped. Death has already, and decay has already entered in, and you just raise them from the dead. I mean, they had breathing problems, they had circulation problems, they had muscle problems. I mean, you name it, they were dead. And Lazarus, to prove the power that Jesus had, he waited intentionally on Lazarus. He didn't go when the body was warm. The body was already dead. The body was already cold. Jesus waited about 3 days and go to Lazarus. Now, why did he do that? So, because the Jews believed that after 3 days, the soul was gone. So Jesus comes in with Lazarus. He says, Lazarus, come forth. And I love it when Lazarus came walking out. They're shocked. And he says, don't just stand there and gape at the guy. Get his grave clothes off of him. You know, I mean, he's dead. He's buried. There was a guy in Africa a few years ago, because we think about this in America, because they didn't have embalming back in Jesus' day, unless you were a pharaoh or something like that. There was a guy in Africa probably about 6 or 7 years ago. He died, and they embalmed him, and his wife would not let him go. Brought his casket to church. He's embalmed. That means he's had all the blood drained out of his body. That means they put fluids in his body to make up. I mean, he is embalmed. And she brought him to church. Now, in Africa, you don't bring dead bodies into church, so they brought him into the basement under the church. Reinhard Bonnke was preaching that day, didn't know anything about it. And as they were preaching, they had a bunch of elders downstairs, and they're all laying hands on the man in the casket, and they're praying for him. And when Reinhard Bonnke gave the altar call, the man sat up. I mean, he is not only dead, he is embalmed. I've got the video. You can talk to the guy. You can talk to the funeral director that embalmed him. You know, they said, this guy was embalmed. Had no blood in his... When you are raised from the dead, it is a miracle. But not impossible. So, you know, Jesus did that. You know, the preacher, Rainer Bonnke, didn't know anything about it. He didn't know about it till afterwards. And they said, you need to meet this guy. He said, well, nice to meet you. He said, no, you don't understand. A few minutes ago, he was dead. You know, he was gone from this world. So when you're deceived, you're perishing. When you're walking in darkness, death is at work in us. Now, we will not be probably fully, not probably, we will not be fully in the light, fully undeceived until we are with Christ, because then everything becomes revealed. So, you know, this physical body is not saved yet. How many of you know that? So the physical body is still perishing, but you don't have to perish in your mind. You don't have to perish in your soul, in your thinking, in your believing, and you can quicken. Oh, I love this verse in Romans 8 about the Holy Spirit. It says the Holy Spirit quickens your mortal body. Well, what does that mean? Makes alive. That's what it means. The Holy Spirit makes alive your mortal flesh. Well, isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Debbie and I were listening to a preacher this morning, one of the scriptures he was using is, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee. And I thought, man, what a scripture. I mean, I've heard that for years and years and years when I was growing up in church, and nobody ever told me that he's the Lord your God who heals your body. It's just, we just read it like a recipe. You know, just like, well, we just read it. Well, he's the Lord your God who heals your body. Okay, let's go on to the next. No, wait. If I'm dealing with something, I need the Lord my God who heals my body. Understand? I need that intervention. But if I'm deceived, I can read it and not even see it. Just go right past it. Just blow it away. I'm the Lord your God who gives you the ability to get wealth. I can read that and just not even see it. Or how about this? I was sitting in church and my dad was preaching. And he came across a scripture where Jesus says, you will do, if you believe in me, you will do the same things I do, and even greater things than these you will do. And I started going, whoa. And Dad says, well, that's not what Jesus really meant. My eyes got small again. You know, it's just, and I just, okay, because I was submitted to authority. And Dad, not only my father, but my spiritual mentor, he said, well, that's not really what God meant. Now, hopefully you in this church, you realize you ought to get a little bit upset about that. He's talking you out of the Word of God. But we talk ourselves out of the Word of God all the time.
Yes, that's right.
Amen? Because we just don't know any better. Well, that's part of the darkness. That's part of the deception that we walk in. And Jesus came to give us light. It says, to those who it is veiled, to those who are perishing. If I don't see it, if I don't understand it, it means it's not working in me yet. Yet. But I can't get it to work in me. How? Believe. Begin to believe in God. See, it says here in verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's the good news. In the midst of the darkness, God commanded light to shine. Whew. In that, we go back to Genesis. Whole earth was in darkness. What did God do? I command light. Boom, it came. Well, we're walking in darkness. And what does God do? He commands light into our lives. He commands it. I like that scripture. That means, well, Jesus said it, or the Bible says it like this, if God be for you, who can be against you? Isn't that the same thing? God's commanding light. He's commanding light. Now, if we'll believe, if we walk in the light that we have, you'll get more light. But if you refuse to walk in the light that you have, you're walking in darkness. You're deceived because you're not walking in the knowledge that you already have. Well, I'm already ahead of myself. What are we blinded to? Bill Winston, we read him last week, and he says, he comes to steal, meaning the devil, he comes to steal the word out of their minds and hearts so that they will be blind to his schemes and destruction. Where when you're deceived, you cannot see the schemes and the destructions that the devil has planned to kill you. See, Jesus told us the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, what is the work of the devil? Well, I don't really know. Well, let me help you. It's to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So anything that steals from you is essentially the work of the devil. Anything that kills is the work of the devil. Anything that destroys is the work of the devil. And when you begin to understand that and add to it that Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You begin to understand that when we blame God for stealing and killing and destroying, we're deceived. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, are mad at God because they think God took something from them. No, God's trying to command light in your darkness. Or, no, I'll say it like this. God is commanding light in your darkness, but it's up to us to grab hold of the light. Because I can see the light and walk the other direction. But God, oh, thank you, Jesus. God is commanding light in your darkness. Amen. Now, deception is simply to mislead, to falsely persuade, or to betray. It is trying to persuade you that the lie is the truth. And isn't this the very nature of the devil? Isn't this, it makes him who he is. He's the deceiver and the master deceiver. Well, we asked last week, where does deception come from? Does it come from within or does it come from without? Wouldn't that be great to know where it comes from so we can just block it, you know, put my blinders on and just I'd only look at the Word of God. I never see anything else. Wouldn't that be wonderful to do that? But you've got to know where deception comes from. That's what we're going to spend our time on today. When you were asking about deception, do you believe that the devil made you do it? Or this is just who you are? People use that excuse, well, this is just how I am. It won't change now because, well, you know, I've always been this way and I'll always be this way. That's like an old dog can't learn new tricks. You know, they did some studies here a few years ago and they found out old dogs can learn new tricks. So the excuse that, well, this is just how I am doesn't work. Doesn't work. I mean, if we believe that we can become a new creature in Jesus Christ, that old things have passed away, then it's no longer a question of just, this is just who you are. I mean, can you, I mean, Jesus is probably the only one that could actually say that. Why are you healing on the Sabbath? It's just the way I am. Why did you heal that blind person? It's just the way I am. Well, why did you not condemn that woman caught in adultery? It's just the way I am. I can't help it. But you know, that is just like God, isn't it? Why does God heal? It's just the way he is. He is the Lord your God who healeth thee. He is the God who gives you the power to get wealth. He is all these things. He is life and breath and all these things to us. He is goodness to us. That's just the way he is. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. So, but when we use that as an excuse, no, that's not the way that you are. That's how sin is in you that has corrupted you that you can no longer see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's veiled, and when it's veiled, we're walking in destruction. We're walking in this thing that causes us to perish. Well, we know that Satan is the deceiver, that we know that he is a father of lies. The scripture we use for that is John 8:44. It says, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Well, deception begins by planting doubt regarding the Word of God. The first mention we have of Satan is he comes to Eve in the garden. He says, did God really say? And see, that's the heart of all deception. All deception causes you to doubt and to question the Word of God. I do a little thing with people now and then when they say, well, I'm having this voice talk to me and I just don't know what's going on. I say, well, what's the voice saying? Well, if the voice is saying, you can't do it, you never amounted to anything, you'll always be this way, it won't work for you, I said, that's the devil. Well, how do you know that? Well, God, I know it because I know my Father. When you know the genuine, you can tell the false. Because God would never say, it won't work for you. What does God say? All things work together for good for those who love the Lord. All things are possible to him who believes. God calls us a world conqueror, more than a world conqueror, more than a world overcomer. So God could never, never, never say to you, you'll never make it. It won't work for you. God couldn't say that. Because if he did, how many of you believe what God says comes to pass? So if God would tell you, you won't make it, you'll never get into heaven. You've sinned so wrong, bad now that I could never forgive you. If God would say that, there's no hope for you. I mean, you might as well hang it up. But God doesn't say that. He says all who believe in Christ Jesus will be saved, will be born again. See, so when you know the character of God, you know what God won't say. And so you can start discerning deception and find out what it really is. Whenever the devil comes to you and lies to you, you'll never make it. It won't work for you. You ought to stand up and rejoice. And usually that comes at a time when you don't feel like rejoicing. Amen? You know, you're already down in the mouth. You're already upset. You're already angry. You don't feel like being glad. But when you hear the devil talk that way to you, you ought to stand up and rejoice, because if the devil says that to me, and I know he's a liar, woo, what God has planned for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that while others may say I'll never make it, God says I always triumph. I always gain the victory. Oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that you are with me. You will never leave me, never forsake me, God, that I can overcome all things through Christ Jesus who lives in me. See, you can start celebrating, because if the devil's lying to you, you can hear the word of God. Because the devil's trying to talk you out of what God is saying to you. Because he's got to convince you to quit. The devil's got to convince you to give up. The devil's got to convince you to go home and never try it again. Can you ever feature God saying, well, just go home and sit on your couch because nothing will ever go right for you? The rest of your life, nothing will ever work for you. So just go home, get your ice cream and your bowl and your spoon, and just enjoy. God wouldn't say that. He's not against ice cream, but he's going to tell you that that's not going to be your whole life. And he called us to be witnesses, didn't he? He called us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why would he tell us to go home and sit in our house and close all the windows and the blinds and never go anywhere again? Why would God say that when you're to be the light of the world? He wouldn't. That's the issue. The Bible says that Satan has deceived the entire world. Now, when in the midst of all this deception, how do we begin to understand truth? Go to John 1. Oh, my goodness. John chapter 1. As soon as I find it here. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. He says, in the beginning. Now remember, God commanded light to shine in the darkness. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was. See, the Bible is saying the Word, and then in verse 2 it says He. Well, who's the Word? Jesus said, I am the Word. The Spirit of God is the Word. So here we find in John that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was made, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's Zoe. That's Zoe life. That's just not breathing. That's not just oxygen. That's Zoe life, which means the absolute, complete life of God. And the light, this life was a light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or grasp it or overcome it. Darkness can't overcome light. Once light comes, it shatters the darkness. It just pushes it away. If you don't believe that, just get up at midnight and flip on the light in your bedroom. I mean, darkness just vanishes. Well, all I did was flip a switch. Yeah, but aren't you glad for the power that someone supplied to that switch? Well, when you're in darkness, you need to flip on the switch and thank God for the power He's supplied. Amen. Thank Him for the power. Go down to verse 11, still in John 1. Verse 11, it says, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Do you need more grace in your life? You need to get Jesus. You need to spend time with him, because he says he has the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If Jesus is full of grace and I need grace, I need to get to Jesus. If I need to understand truth, I need to push to Jesus, because he's got the truth. I need to push through whatever barrier, whatever is dividing me from the truth, from Jesus. I need to get those things out of my mind, out of my way. Why? So I can get to Jesus. Because if I can get to Jesus, I get truth. Because he's full of it. Full of grace. Full of truth. Jesus is saturated with it. It's what the Bible talks about in the Old Testament when it says we drip with the fatness of God. What's he talking about? The grace and the truth of God. It's the woman with the issue of blood. She pushes through the crowd, touches the hem of his garment. What was she doing? She was touching the fat of the anointing of God, of grace and truth. And the moment she got that anointing on her, she was healed. See, she knew, she didn't know a whole lot, but she knew, because she's thinking to herself, if I can touch but the hem of his garment, I will be healed. Well, what evidence did she have for that? None. Did she have a doctor's prescription? No. Did she have a college education or a degree that taught her that Isaiah says there's healing in his wings, which many believe that what she touched was the hem of his garment, was the tassels hanging from the hem of his prayer shawl? And as she touched the hem of his prayer shawl, as she touched the wings, one of the four corners where the longest tassels are, as she touched the wings, that there's healing in his wings. And as she touched it, the healing began to flow. Did she know Isaiah? Well, she probably couldn't read. Had she heard a priest talk about it? Maybe. But she knew, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And she acted on it. She pushed her way through the crowd. Now, she had a death sentence against her. She had an issue of blood. They could have stoned her publicly and been legal, because she was out in public with an issue of blood. And instead of being afraid of everything else, because they can't stone you for an issue of blood once you're healed. They can't condemn you for the sin that you committed yesterday if you get forgiven today. Why? It's gone. It's no longer there. She knew. I mean, she's staking her life on this. She is serious about getting to Jesus, and she was healed. Blind Bartimaeus, sitting on the roadside. Jesus, the meeting's over. Jesus is leaving town. He's almost through the gate. And here's blind Bartimaeus. Who's that? Who's in the crowd walking by? He said, well, that's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus. And he started yelling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shh, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Bartimaeus, it's all over with. The meeting's shut down. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus, be quiet now. You're embarrassing us screaming like that. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus turned around and said, who's calling me? And said, well, this guy over here, you know. And he goes over to blind Bartimaeus. And I love him. It's always blind Bartimaeus. And that just reinforces his problem, doesn't it? And Jesus goes over him, and this guy's blind. But, you know, needs aren't always obvious. Jesus says, what is it you want? Now, Bartimaeus could have said anything. Well, Jesus, the rug that I sit on to beg from is really used and is pretty worn. So, Jesus, I'd like to have a new rug. He didn't ask for a rug. Jesus, the clothes that I wear are kind of shabby. And sometimes on those cold, wet days, it's awful hard on me out here to beg. So, Jesus, could you give me a new suit of clothes? He didn't ask for a suit of clothes. What did he ask for? He said, Lord, give me my eyes back. Let me see. He's asking for something that's going to radically change his life. Because once he could see, he loses his ability to beg. You had to have a license to beg. If they caught you on the streets without a license to beg, they'd horsewhip you at the very least and drive you out of town. Because you've got to have a license to beg. They had an official beggar's garment. I'm serious. They had an official beggar's garment. And you wore this to beg so that everybody knew you were legal. And he asked for the one thing that would radically change his life. He wanted to see. He wanted to get out of deception. And he was already seen. Son of David, if I can get to Jesus, if I can get his attention, God will heal me. Jesus comes over and he says, okay. And he laid his hands on him and gave Bartimaeus his sight back. Radically changed his life. Now, he couldn't beg anymore. Had to go get a job. Whew, man, that's rough, isn't it? Well, would you rather have sight or and have to work the rest of your life, or would you rather beg? These are some deep questions. He lost all of his support. I mean, I knew a guy in Ohio. We never got him to come to church. I led him to the Lord. I never could. Aubrey Saul was his name. Could never get him to come to church. But his family asked if I could drop by the house one day. So I dropped by the house and talked with him and was able to lead him to the Lord. And he was one of the most fascinating people I've ever met, because he had been physically disabled because he had a lung disease. And he only had part of one lung that was still working. And they had had x-rays and all this stuff. And he had, you know, they had worked for years to get him the disability so that he wouldn't have to work. He could hardly breathe, you know, just, you know. It was just kind of sad, but he wanted to work. He said, Gordon, I want to go back to work, and they won't let me. I said, well, but Aubrey, you can't work. I mean, look at your condition. He said, but if God would heal me, I can go back to work, right? I said, yeah. He said, well. So we worked with him for several months, and we prayed with him, and I'd go to the house on a regular basis, and we'd spend some time in prayer, and we'd just talk about Jesus and the love of God and things like that. Well, he went back to the doctor, and the doctor certified him and said, your lungs are perfectly clear. There's not a thing wrong with your lungs. You can go back to work. Now the investigation started. Why were you faking for all these years? He wasn't faking. He's got the x-rays before and the after. He was healed. God touched him and gave him two new lungs because he wanted to go back to work. Now, why did his faith work for him? This guy we couldn't get into church, but the guy who accepted the Lord. Because he wanted to work. He wanted to change his life. Now, why is it that so many of us have light that shines into our darkness and we would rather walk in darkness? Well, let's go to John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. Now, what do we read over in 2 Corinthians? Those who are veiled to the light of God are perishing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, now many people make a mistake about God and Christianity, that God came to judge the wicked people. No, judgment's already been spoken. You're separated from God. But God, in a sense, did come to judge us. In the sense that if you will give your life to Jesus Christ, he will judge you to be free and clear of sin and thus of the judgment that was coming upon you. Isn't that good news? Yes. See, he came to judge you innocent. But in order to be judged innocent, we have to believe on him. In other words, Jesus came to give you a way out of the condemnation. Yeah. Now, this isn't just spiritually. This isn't just that when I die, I'll go to heaven. Okay, to deliver you out of darkness into the light of his marvelous Son, of his grace, mentally, emotionally, financially, physically, socially, in every area of life, God came to keep you from perishing. Every area. He left, if Jesus would have left one area unfulfilled, then he didn't complete the work of salvation. He didn't complete it. But Jesus came that you and I might have life, abundant life. Not just a physical life, not the kind of life that animals have. Animals don't have this kind of life. Plants don't have this kind of life. I hate to disappoint PETA, but fish don't have this kind of life. Jesus came that you might have Zoe life, absolute life, life as only God possesses. And not just when you die, that life has already started in you if you're born again. This is a life that God has given to you to give you different eyes, to give you a fresh mind, to let you live differently than you have lived before. But in order to receive that life, you've got to believe. And in order to believe, you have to see the things of God. That's why he gave you to be born again, that you can see the kingdom of God. Because until you can see the kingdom of God, you can't believe in it. But Jesus came to give us light, that we would see the kingdom, that we would believe in him. Now let's go on. John 3:19. He says, and this is a condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Now, what's the evil here? Because we have to be real careful with this. Because some people walk out, well, Gordon said, if you don't believe God, you're evil. No, that's not what I'm saying. Now, what's evil? Evil is to not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it this way. If I would put $1 million, I'll say it different. If I would try to hand you $1 million in cash, and you would say, Gordon, I thank you that you want to give this to me, but Gordon, I've got to earn it on my own. I've got to do it myself. I don't want your help. But I said, I want to give it to you. It's my desire to give it to you. I want you to have this. No obligation. I want you to have it. No, I'm going to do it on myself. And I walk away with my $1 million, and you walk away without it, still struggling, still trying to do it all on your own ability. When with that $1 million, you could start a business, you could do investment, you could do marketing, you could do everything to start your business, but you refused it, you turned it down. That's what the Bible is talking about being evil, is you wouldn't let God help you, that you wanted to do it on your own. Lord, I don't need your help. I don't need your peace. I'll work out my own peace. Bless God, I'm going to work it out. Yeah. Lord, I'm going to work out my own righteousness. Lord, I'm going to work out my own salvation. I'm going to do it. Lord, I don't need you. It's trying to gain favor by works instead of the grace of God. Does that make sense? So when it says light came into the world, and this is a condemnation, that light came into the world and men loved the darkness because their deeds were evil. I don't want to accept God's help. I don't want to accept his strength on my behalf. I'm just going to push through and do it on my own. Well, some of you might get to where you can make it a little bit better than what you're doing now. But you still denied the grace of God. Because in the end, it's not about how many possessions you have. It's about whether you would yield and let God help you. And that's a humbling experience. To come to God and say, Father, I can't do this on my own. I understand that you came to help me. And I'm asking you, Lord, I'm yielding to you to help me in this. Because I don't know where I'm headed or what I'm doing. But Lord, I'm going to give my life to you. And I'm going to trust that you're going to lead me, you're going to guide me, you're going to direct my life. Because I want to walk in the light. And in order to walk in the light, I must turn away from the darkness that surrounded me. So I'm going to walk in the light that I have. It may not be much right now, but I'm going to walk in the light that you have because my trust, my confidence, my hope is in you, Lord. Does that make sense? This is what God wants us to do. And we'd rather cling to our darkness than yield our lives to God. That's why in the scripture it says they were evil because they refused to trust God and let God help them. That's the condition of men. And so when we finally break down, when we finally yield to Christ and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Man, that is, it's just, now who am I? Now what do I do? Now God can breathe on you. Now he can call you a child of God. Now he can open up his resources. Now he can give you all of these things because you know it's not by anything I've done to earn this. It's all a free gift of God. It's nothing of my own. I can't earn my salvation. I can't earn my healing. I can't earn my deliverance. There's nothing I can do except, Lord, I trust you. I trust you to change my life, to change everything about me. Would you like to do that this morning? To trust God, to just give yourself over to him? And I don't care how far or how advanced we are in the things of God. There's areas we're struggling with. There's areas we need to say, Lord, I've tried to figure this out. I've tried to do it my own way. I've tried everything I know to try. Try Jesus. Have you got that desperate yet? Have you got to that point of where you'll say, Lord, not my will. Lord, I want this and this and this and this and this. And I've got a plan and, well, God might call it a scheme, but you've got a plan and you're going to get all these things to work. And God says, you can try all you want to, but it's not going to work without the Spirit of God. Unless the Lord builds the house, they that build it labor in vain. And it's time as believers, we believe. Amen? It's time to believe. And by believing, we get to step out of deception. Because now we're not going to walk according to what the world says or by what others say, but we're going to walk by the Spirit of God. Now, one of the amazing scriptures, and I've been thinking about this off and on for a couple years now, but one of the amazing scriptures, it says, the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Sons. Now, there's a word in the Bible for child, little bitty infant, the kind you carry in your arms, the kind you have to hold the bottle to, and they're so cute. But that's a child. He says, sons. Sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Does the Spirit lead you? Are you ready to yield to him? Say, Father, what do you want for my life? And not just what he wants for your life, but let him have your life. Let's stand up. Praise you, Father. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus, but you say, I want Jesus in my life, I want to pray a prayer with you to open up and let Jesus come in and give him control of your life. Is there anybody here for the first time that you'd like to ask Jesus into your heart to be born again? Okay, are there any believers here that say, I need to believe more? I need to give more of my life to him. I need to open up to him. And Lord, there's areas that I've been struggling and trying to do it on my own, but Lord, I want to give you place in my life. I think that's most of us. I'm there with you. I'm holding up my hand too. Let's pray this prayer. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I believe in you. I believe in Jesus, your Son, who died and lives again, who was made to be sin with my sin, that I might be made righteous, that I might be made right with God through him. I believe in the Holy Spirit who has come to live in me, who is my helper, my guide, is my strength. I believe in you, God. And I offer to you my life. I ask you, Father, to take control, to lead me, to guide me. I give you permission to correct me. Anytime I step out of line, nudge me. Let me know that I'm starting the wrong path. Let me know where the light is. that I could walk where you want me to be. That I can live in your fullness. That I might have the mind of Christ. That I might have the wisdom of God. In every area of life. I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me in all areas. And I give you praise, Father, that this is your will. And I yield to your will. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.